Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It's good to see you all. Morning, yes, good morning. It's good. Let's give God a hand one more time. You know, as a church, it's just fun to celebrate together. And it's always a celebration because of who God is and who He's made us to be. This new series, I'm pretty excited about it because it's just saying, you know, we all have an identity and what we these thoughts and self-view of ourselves. But God has a view of who you are. And I can tell you right now that God's view is better than your view. Tell your neighbor, just turn to him and say, God's view of you is better than your view of you. If you come here for a while, you realize that when you come to this church, you have to preach with me. We all do this together. And it's a joint effort. We just feel like, you know, all hands on deck working together is better than just one guy telling a lecture. I mean, there's nothing more boring than somebody just standing up here having a talking head lecturer. And so we're going to skip that part. But this past weekend, we did have a leaders retreat, and we did these personality tests. Anybody ever do personality tests? I think we did like the Myers-Briggs MBTI purpose test. I guess we did a different one. We did strength finders, something like strength finders. So we're finding out our strengths, finding out our personality, going through these different tests. And it's kind of fun getting a view of yourself and starting to understand who am I and who are you and understanding the personality and our strengths. And here's the truth. Everybody took these strength tests. And nobody came up with no strengths, which is, I was nervous. Like, what if I don't have any strengths and I score zero and it's all just blank and you have no strengths, only weaknesses. In fact, when they took these tests, it was all technology. And you do it online and then you get an answer online. And we love that smart people can help us even from a distance. All right, I'm getting back on my message here. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Personality and strengths. So you all have strengths and you all have a personality. Now, it may not be the personality that you want or the person that you wish you had, but the truth is all of us have a personality and all of us have strengths. And there's a reason for that. It's because God presents himself to us. God has personality. And therefore, because we're created in his image, we have a personality. And every one of us, our personalities are a reflection of God's personality. Now, God is amazing, incredibly complex. And so each one of us, none of us captures the fullness of the personality of God. But each one of us is a reflection of part of the personality of God. And that's an amazing thing. Because when we begin to understand that, it changes how we should view each other. Because we should all view each other as a reflection of who God is. And that we can always learn something about God in each and every other person. And there's something of worth, of value, and something to be honored. And so we should treat each other a lot better. And the personalities that we don't like, we should recognize that those personalities have something of the nature of God in them. And our part is to discover what that is. And in ourselves, looking at our personalities, we need to say, how does my personality, how can I make that a reflection of who God is to the people around me? And as a church, we need to encourage that in each other so that we look for the image of God in others. And we seek to portray the image of God to others. And so again, just turn to your neighbor and say, you're a reflection of who God is. And so am I. And it may not seem like it, especially if you just had a fight with someone, like your husband or wife or something. Or maybe you had a bad day. You just feel like, man, there was nothing. I was such a jerk yesterday. There's nothing of God in that. But even in our worst moments, there's something of God in you. What we're going to look at today is how do we find the image of God in each other. What does it mean when we have God's view of our identity? And how do we live that out in our lives so that we begin to live God-ordered lives rather than the random lives that go up and down and can wreak havoc all around us? Because God created you for a purpose. And God formed you to be a reflection of who He is. So that's what we're going to look at today. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who You are. And that, Lord, You've created us in Your image to be a reflection of Your identity. Today, Lord God, as we open up Your Word, we pray that You would guide us. You would speak through us. That in these moments, as we look into Your Word, Your Word would be poured into us and begin to change and transform us. That through Your words, Lord God, through the Scripture, we would be fed. We would be shaped. We would be molded. And most of all, that we would come closer to You and that Christ would be formed in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to start off here. We're going to be looking in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. And so Jeremiah, as we study this short passage of Scripture, just a few scriptures, we're going to learn something about the identity of God in you and I. How He views our identity and what that means for us. There's a lot of things that go into shaping our identity. It can be the people around us, your family, your friends, your history, the culture you live in, the ethnicity you come from, the media that you take in. All these things can have a role in shaping our identity. But what we want to do is begin to have, see, what does a God-shaped identity look like versus this identity that is shaped by all the other influences around us? And so in Jeremiah's life, we begin to see God's intention in shaping an identity. And Jeremiah was this guy. He lived towards the end of the ending of a nation. So he was a prophet to a nation called the Kingdom of Judah. That kingdom no longer exists. Okay, the people there are descendants of that nation, but as a political entity, that nation ceased to exist. And he was one who prophesied and had to share God's heart to a people, to a nation that was on the in the last throes of its existence. And so it's a difficult time. He had five kings that he served under. Only one of the five was righteous. Two only ruled for 3 months. And so he was a time of tremendous turmoil in the kingdom of Judah. And so how did God use him in that time? And what does that speak to you and I in our lives? So we're looking in Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "The word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month." So that's when Jeremiah served and ministered as a prophet. And you know, the Bible says this: all of us, the places where we live and the times that we live in are determined by God. We didn't choose where we were going to be born. We didn't choose the timing of our birth. And if you are a person who follows God, then we believe that God has a hand in you being here in Taiwan at this time. And therefore, God has a purpose for you at this time to be here. And our goal today is to help us begin to understand, how do we discover the purpose for which God placed you here in Taiwan at this time? Because you are here on purpose. God created you for this time to be in this place. Again, turn to your neighbor Some of you looking at me, I know you don't believe it. It's okay. So you got to help convince them. Look for someone who looks confused and unconvinced and just tell them, yeah, you were created for on time and in this place. And so Jeremiah was created on time and on purpose. And it's a good thing that he was, because he had a tough time to serve it. In fact, Jeremiah, he's known as the weeping prophet. And if you think the times that you live in are tough, you ain't seen nothing yet. And what we love is that God came along so strongly in Jeremiah's life, because he knew that the task that he had, the time and the place that he was called to live in and be God's mouthpiece in, was a difficult time. And so you might think that your time is a difficult time. Well, you can take comfort from Jeremiah's life, that your time's not as bad as his. So Jeremiah chapter 1, let's jump down to verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And I just want to tell you, you may not even know Jesus today. You may still be, you might be a seeker thinking, you know, I'm just checking this out, just trying to figure out, what is this Christianity thing? What is this church thing? Who is this Jesus? What do these people believe, and what are they doing on a Sunday morning? I want to tell you that even if you don't yet know God, God knows you. And if you may think, man, I have never heard God. I don't believe that I'm called by God. I got to tell you, the truth is, according to Scripture, that you were created on purpose, and you're not here by accident. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And God wants to speak to you just like he spoke to Jeremiah. And God's actually given you the ability to hear his voice. In fact, if you have any interest in coming to church, if you have any interest in knowing God, it's only because the Bible says that you have heard the voice of God calling you. Because outside of God's presence, outside of his voice, there's nothing inside us innately that is drawn to God, except that we're created in his image and we have an ability to hear his voice. And so it's God that has been, you might think it's my own thoughts, or it's my friend or my coworker that's been inviting my classmate. But the truth is, people tell us things all the time and invite us into things all the time. But your response to God is because you've heard the voice of God drawing you in that. And so I want to tell you right now, each and every one of us, you can hear God's voice. You were created to hear God's voice. You were created to know God. And the reason why oftentimes we live with this emptiness in our soul is because we've not yet connected with that part of us that connects to God. And I want to tell you today that God has you here for a purpose. And our prayer is that you would hear his voice calling you into relationship with him. Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord, and he wrote this book. Jeremiah communicating to us what God spoke to him. And that's the assignment of every single one of us, is to hear, what is God saying to me that I can then communicate to others? This is the way the Bible was written. The Bible says that it was written by the Spirit of God speaking to men, and then men writing out what God spoke to them. And so as we read through the Bible, what you're going to see is that as you read through every book of the Bible, you see both the voice of God speaking to us. People throughout the generations around the world have heard God speaking to them through the words of the Scripture. And that's why people have been willing to die for Scripture, because they've heard God speaking to them through it. But there's also, in every book of the Bible, the human author. And so we can tell the personality of the authors, because their humanity is also written into the Scriptures. And see, that's the way that God created you and I to function, is that our personality and our strengths and our history communicates through our lives. But God also comes alongside. And it's a blend of us and God working together to communicate His heart to the community and the culture around us. So you and I, each and every one of us, we were created to be part of the mouthpiece of God. God has things that He wants to communicate through you to people around you. That's always been God's intention. It's another good moment to turn to your neighbor and just tell him, God wants to speak through you to others. I love this thing of how God made our brains. Is that if we hear something often enough, even if at first we don't believe it, there's something inside of us that just by constant repetition gets triggered, and we can actually start to believe something that we don't even think is true if we hear it enough times. This is what marketers, salesmen, and politicians all understand. This is what we find in social media. And there's a power there in that when we discover the truth in God's word, if we will continue to speak it to ourselves enough, we will shift from believing the lies that the world tells us to begin to believe what God tells us. That's a powerful thing. That you and I, even though our experiences, because our experiences, honestly, our experiences is so untrustworthy. People's opinions are so untrustworthy. But God's truth is always true. And if we'll meditate on God's word and what His truth is and begin to speak that to each other, that can begin to form who we are. And I can tell you this, if you start to become the person that God created you to be, you're going to be a better person. The world's going to be a better place. More important than whoever is king or president is whether or not you or I begin to become the people that God's called us to be. Because that's what will truly transform the world around us. All right, so let's get into our message here. Verse 5. Says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And the very first thing that we can understand about our identity in God is that God knew you. You are known. And it's so easy to walk through life with the sense of not being known, a sense that we have to make ourselves known. And so you see people, on social media, you see it all the time, people longing for attention, wanting to be known, throwing all their stuff out there. I want to be known, and so I'm going to create these social media posts that are anything but me. But, you know, because I want people to like me. And here's the thing about God. When we begin to understand that God knew you, that you are known by God. And the Bible says this, God not only knows us, but He loves us. Before we were even created, but the Bible says that God chose to love us. And He will never stop loving you. So we are known and loved before we were even created. When we allow that truth to begin to penetrate our hearts and our minds, begin to form our identity, it'll radically transform who you think you are. To know that you're known, to know that you're loved, honestly, it changes who we are, how we see ourselves, and how we interact with every other person. Because when you come and you engage with people out of the security of being known and loved, all of a sudden it's no longer about you. But it's how you can how you can help others feel known and how you can help others feel loved. And just imagine if we lived in a world where everybody felt known and loved and the intention of our interactions wasn't to try to get people to love us because we're so needy for love. And the intention of our communications wasn't just to let people know who I am because I need them to know. But rather we know we're known. And instead, we want to help other people feel loved and feel known. That's going to begin to radically transform your circles of friends. It's going to begin to radically transform the way that you see yourself every day. The way that you see yourself when you're amongst others. Because it's so radically different from the way that the world tells us. The way that the world builds our identity. God's view versus the world's view identity. You are known. You're loved. Before you post a single thing on Instagram or TikTok or whatever people post on these days. I'm so far behind. That's just a good thing to begin to, a truth to begin to let seep into our hearts and minds. And so to help that seep into our hearts and minds, just turn to your neighbor again and tell him, you are known and loved. And I want to encourage you, as the church, we of all people, we need to start believing the Bible. It's going to radically transform your life when you start to actually believe the Bible, that you are known and you are loved. And so to help that, we just need to keep repeating it to each other. And so every Sunday when you come together in small groups, when you get up in the morning, you want to send out a text that lets people know you're known and you're loved. When you interact with people, interact in a way that doesn't try to, you know, draw attention to yourself, but rather puts attention on them. Doesn't try to fish for compliments, but rather gives compliments. Since we allow God to radically transform our identity, it's going to begin to radically transform your friendships, your family, your small group, known and loved. The second thing it says there, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So what happens after we're known, we're formed. In other words, you are handmade by God. That's an amazing thing that you and I, that we are handmade by God. And it's so easy to think that we're just a random compilation of our experiences and our best efforts and the circumstances that happened in our lives. But the Bible says that no, God has a plan and a purpose with how you are made. And so as we begin to understand that we are formed by God, then there's a beauty in our formation. I remember in the old days, you know, when I was growing up, I remember going it's a while back, but we were I don't even remember where we were, on some trip, and we went to one of these stores where they sell those, what we called these woven rugs. We used to call them Persian rugs, but this is not in Persia because we weren't there. But these hand-woven rugs, you know, and so they're explaining to us how they were made and how you can get the cheap ones that are machine-made and how you can get the expensive ones that are handmade. And they said the expensive ones that are handmade, how you know is by the flaws. Because machine ones are just clean cut, everything's the same, everything's done by machine. But the handmade one has flaws built into it because they're made by humans. And they're actually worth more than the machine-made one. And you and I, with all of our, there's nobody else like you. You are handmade. You are uniquely made. Our problem comes when we start to compare with others and we say, well, I'm not like him. I'm not like them. I'm not like that person. And we live with this sense of insufficiency. We live with this sense of all my flaws are deficiencies in my life. When actually God works these flaws into your life for a purpose, because the flaw in your life might be the most encouraging thing to other people that God puts into your life who need some encouragement. Everything that God allows into your life, He will use for good. This is His promise. You are handmade by God for a purpose. And quit trying to compare yourself and be somebody else. Start celebrating who God's made you to be. Because He will use everything that He's put into your life for His purpose, for His glory, if you will let Him. We fight against God. And so often we miss the very thing that God put into our life to be a blessing to someone else. because we're so ashamed of it. When God says, I put it there for a purpose. In my life, just doing ministry, I've had, sadly, had opportunity to minister to so many people who have just walked through abuse in their lives. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. It's just rampant. But here's what I've noticed, is that those who truly heal from that abuse, there is a sweetness to their lives. There is a softness and a gentleness from which they're able to relate to others because of that pain in their life has actually created a softness in them. And those that still hold on to that pain and haven't found healing, there's a hardness in it, in them. And it's not by whether or not they were abused, it's really by how you respond to that abuse. But some of the most beautiful people that I know are people who have walked through some of the most horrendous abuses in their lives. But they've recognized God's hand in it. And they've embraced that and said, I know God's going to use that in my life. And every flaw in our lives, God will turn for good. If we'll begin to see it from His view. Because that's just how good God is. We get so caught up on our own deficiencies. And then we start to cover. We spend all of our lives in trying to cover our deficiencies, feeling insecure. Because of what we view as I'm less than or not enough. When God says, you're beautifully, wonderfully made. And everything that you think is a deficiency, I'm going to use to bring me more glory. And I will use that in your life if you will let me. But we have to embrace the goodness of God. If we miss the goodness of God, that He is always good. And even in our worst places and worst times, God is still good and He will work good through it if we will surrender it to Him. Now that's not easy. That is not an easy process. But it's an amazing process if you'll let God do it. You'll begin to find the insecurities and the fears in your life begin to fade away because you see the goodness of God. And His ability to do good things, even in your worst moments. That's what it means to understand and have a God view of our lives, that we're formed by God. So you're known by God, which means you're accepted, you are understood, you are loved. You're formed by God, which means that every single bit of you, God will use for His purposes. And then He says here, before you were born, I consecrated you. God set you apart. All of us want to feel that we're special. And I want to tell you today that you are special. You are set apart for a purpose. You're not just mass-produced and thrown into a bin. And so, well, there's a bunch of folks, and you know, they'll just be used over time in whatever way. No, God set you apart for a special purpose. That's what consecration means. It means set apart for a purpose. You've been consecrated by God for a special purpose. What this world needs is people who recognize God's purpose in their lives and allow God to do His purpose through them. And the enemy comes in and says, no, you're just like everybody else. Or he tries to get you these false pictures of who you're set about. Make yourself special. That's what the world keeps saying. No, you got to make yourself special. God says you're already created special. Our specialness comes when we find the one who consecrated us for His purposes. You cannot actually understand what you're consecrated for until you get connected to the God who created you and consecrated you. But I can tell you, I guarantee you, God has a special purpose for you. You are set apart by Him. There are millions of people around us right here in Taipei who are waiting for you to step into your purpose. But it begins with that one, someone in your family. God put you in your family for a purpose. He chose your family and He put you there. In your workplace, in your campus, there is someone that God put you there for. He consecrated you. He set you apart for that purpose of ministering and being a blessing to that person. That's why it's so important that we begin to hear God's voice so that God can begin to show us who He's consecrated you for. But make no mistake, you are set apart for a purpose. And we have a hard time. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sometimes believing that and a harder time living it out. I can believe it in a moment in a church service and everybody's excited. But walking that out every day in my workplace, in my school, that's when we need to know it. So just to help drive that point home, yeah, turn to your neighbor. Just tell him you're created for a purpose. You're consecrated. All right. How are we doing with the preaching? Y'all preaching good to each other? All right. You just encourage them. If they're not saying it strong enough, you just got to encourage them. Hey, man, you got to say it with more force. I'm not believing it yet, you know. I'm not believing it yet. You know, we do this for a reason because we need to get used to that. It's easy here in church. We all want to hear from God. But there's a world out there that needs to know. And if we're not used to opening our mouths and sharing truth, then how will people know the love of God? How will they begin to experience what it means to feel accepted and known, formed by God, consecrated by Him? Because this last point, God told him, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God's appointed you. You have an assignment from God. You're not just someone who slips in here unknown, unseen, just trying to make up the crowd. You're here on purpose. There are things God wants to say to you today in this service, and He may have said it in a little time of greeting someone or meeting someone and small talk. God may have said it in the worship time. God may say it through the person sitting next to you as they keep poking you. But God has something He wants to say to you today that is for His appointment, is for your assignment, something that you're going to take with you and then share it with someone else. Because that's who you are. You're someone God knows. You're someone God formed. You're someone God set apart. And you're someone that God has assigned. You're not living just for yourself here. You're not here by chance. You don't just walk through the random day, but you walk with an assignment. And our place is to look for that assignment and to draw on God's formation, who He made you to be. See, all of us have strengths. All of us have weaknesses. And what we want to do is begin to focus on the strengths that God has put into your life, the parts of your personality that are a reflection of Him. This is the Christian life, that none of us come perfect. None of us start off completely made, but we're all on the journey together, helping each other to become better and better mouthpieces for God, better and better reflections of who He is, because that's what makes our lives better and makes other people's lives better. But it's a journey. And it requires all of our effort together to do this. We have to live on purpose and understand God's assignment in our lives. Anybody got anything yet? You okay? Out there? We connecting? Any of this connecting with you? Are we good? Good? Okay. Go to the back. The peanut gallery says that. Okay. We appreciate you guys back there. We're going to close out the service with communion. And the reason why we do that is because none of this works without Jesus in our lives. The great thing about us going out there is we don't go on our own. God goes with us. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, His Spirit now lives inside of us. See, Christianity, we always say Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. And that relationship is with God. Because the beauty of Jesus coming to earth, dying on the cross, is that now because of what He did, giving His life on the cross for us, it allows His Spirit to come and live inside of us. And so Jesus said, when we take communion, it's to remember what Jesus did, so that we don't forget, because it's so easy to live this life with no understanding and no connection, no realization or awareness of the fact that God is with us. To live separate from God's view of our lives. But you see how radically transforming an understanding of God's view of our identity is. We take on a whole new identity when we begin to understand God's view of who we are. When we begin to understand that you were known by God. Your good parts, your bad parts. God knew you were going to be a mess. You and I were a mess because we were born into a sin-broken world. And so that sin-broken world affects our lives just as much as God does. Because we also live in a world where the Spirit of God is constantly at work in our lives. And so we live in this tension of the Spirit of God wanting to do a work in our lives and sin wanting to do a work in our lives. But the power of us being created in God's image is we get to choose who we want to have influence in our lives. Do you want the world's view of who you are, or do you want God's view? You choose. You choose your identity. Do you want to live as a person who's known and loved? That's God's view of your identity. Do you want to live as a person who's handmade, specially formed by the God of the universe? Or do you want to live as a person who's just a random blob of meat that happened to be here by chance? Do you want to live as a person who's been set apart, consecrated for a purpose? That's God's view of you. You are so special to God. He has an assignment for your life. People that you're assigned to. See, Jesus, when He came to earth, He came on assignment. And now He gives us an assignment. And as we partake of communion, we remember the way that Jesus came. And in taking of the bread and the cup, it's symbolic of saying, God, Jesus, I want you in my life, that who you are and how you came is who I'll be and how I'll be sent. See, Jesus said that through communion, we actually, and through salvation, we come into a new covenant, a new agreement with God. And He says, this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. God wants to write His truth, His identity on your heart. And that's His promise. A covenant is a promise, and we serve a covenant-keeping God. God is writing His covenant, His purposes into your heart. Verse 11 says, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already. Verse 12 says, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. God is going to exchange all the damage that living in a sin-broken world has tried to bring, all the lies, all the identity that this sin-broken world tries to put upon you. God's going to change that out for His identity, because we're going to begin to know Him. And as we begin to know Him, we'll become like Him. That's God's promise, so that it won't just be me or the person sitting next to you telling you who you are, but God's going to give you a new heart that knows who you are. Whether you're here in church, at home, at school, at work, you'll carry that identity. That's God's promise to us. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And that's why the Bible says that Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took the bread. He said, this bread is my body, broken for you. And as often as you eat the bread of communion, do it in remembrance of Him. Because as we remember Him and who He is, we begin to take on His identity in us. And that's going to change everything. So Father, we thank You for the broken body of Jesus. Broken so that we could be made whole. That no longer would sin have the final say in our lives. But who You created us to be, Your identity in us, would have the final say. We are so thankful for Jesus, the Lamb, the sacrifice. Lord, You planned His death from before we were even created. You already knew that sin would have an influence in our lives, and You already created the cure for sin's influence in our lives, so that even in a sin-broken world, we can be the reflection of a holy God. So we thank You, Lord, for the broken body of Christ. May it minister healing. Healing to our hearts, healing to our bodies, healing to our relationships. Bless the bread now, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. Scripture goes on to say that Jesus, then He took the cup and He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. God's promise. We like to say, I'll toast to that, I'll drink to that. Say, we agree with it. And that's essentially what we're doing. We're saying, Jesus, we agree. That through Your blood, You sealed the promise that we would have new hearts, that we would know You, Your new covenant with us. You and I, we're going to be able to walk. You may look at your life and say, man, I'm so unlike Jesus. When I go to work, at home. But Jesus promises that He's going to help you become like Him. And in the in-between time, when we're still sin-broken in our lives, He says His blood is going to wash away all the stain of those sins. You may still be a mess. You and I, we still may be a mess and have places in our life that are a mess. But in that in-between time, as we're becoming more and more like Christ, every time that we fall, His blood covers over our mess. That's amazing. It frees us from guilt, shame, insecurity, of knowing that, will God accept me? Yes, because of the blood of Jesus. Doesn't matter how many times you mess up, God's still going to embrace you, love you, welcome you. That's the beauty of the gospel. Is that we don't have to be perfect. God loves us as if we were perfect until we come to that place. and it's going to be His love and acceptance that helps us to get there. It's not our efforts to try to get there so that we can be accepted. It's His love and acceptance that encourages us along the journey until we get to that place. That's God's promise. That's the beauty of the new covenant. So Jesus, we're so thankful for Your blood shed for us. Lord, we're thankful. We just say, forgive us of our sins. All the mess that we've made. Cleanse us and make us whole. Renew our hearts by the blood of the covenant. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and partake. He is worthy of it all, amen? Because He laid down His... It's only because of what Jesus did that even gives us the hope of taking on the identity of God and becoming like Christ. It's only by Him. So Lord God, today we give You all the glory. Lord, Your word said that it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. And Lord, we thank You that it's not a weak hope, it's not a wish, an empty wish, but Lord, it's a confident hope that we can have because Christ dwells inside of us. And today, Lord God, we just say, come, Lord Jesus, fill us. Come, Lord Jesus, make Your home in my heart. By the blood of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And by the power of Your resurrected life, be the Lord of my life. Lord, may You shift the way that we see ourselves. May we begin to see ourselves as being known and loved by You. May we begin to see ourselves as being handmade, specially formed by You, our best parts and our worst parts, being all a part of bringing You glory and carrying out Your purpose for which we've been set apart, that we've been handmade and hand-selected and assigned by You. Father, I pray that this week You would show us the people to whom You've assigned us, and that we might show them the love of God. That we would help them to feel known, to feel loved, to feel accepted, to feel special, to feel that every part of their life, every experience that they've gone through can be turned for good by a God who loves them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.